Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of March 26th and 27th. Where did the Ides month disappear to? Man, it's been absolutely crazy. The weather, too. The weather's been up, down, up, down. Came in like a lion. Oh, man, past couple of days are sort of going out like a lion as well. Hey, we have a really jammed show. Want to get to some announcements right off the bat. Don't forget now to claim the turkey permits that weren't, you know, the guys that, you know, got the permits and didn't pick them up. That goes on sale Monday, March 28th at 10 a.m. Okay, first come, first serve basis. Unclaimed permits, I tell you guys, especially, ooh, who knows? Turkey hunt areas 20, 21, 22, 14, 16. Loads of birds down here in the south. They're probably, I'm thinking, it's that last segment. What's that segment here or whatever? We have the 2 weeks, and then you can hunt until, you know, until sunset. They're probably going to be available. But the first 2 or 3 weeks, I think they are going to be gone. Hey, a really super event heading up today at the Seaview Hotel and Golf Club. Shout out to Jamie Lloyd and that great crew. It's the Decoy Art and Hunting Collectibles Show and Sale. Yeah, I could barely gut a fish. That's how, you know, uncoordinated I am with the cutting instruments. To see these decoys and what's involved with them, some of these things, I mean, some belong in shadow boxes, some, you know, belong on a wall. They are just absolutely unbelievable. The show is known as the Best Old Decoy Show in New Jersey. It's going to run today from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Rain or shine at the Seaview Hotel and Golf Club, 401 South New York Road. That's Route 9 in Galloway. Get the exit 48, go down Route 9, get off exit, what's that, 41 on the parkway, you know, head east, and see if he's going to be right there. It's going to be a great time. You're interested in waterfowl, shore birds, the carving, the history. It is an amazing event. And we have another event coming up this week, and we're going to get to a little later on the show. Just a reminder, too, now, April 7th, mark it on your calendar. You're going to have to register for it because it's going to be a virtual meeting. New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council are going to be deciding fluke, a.k.a. summer flounder, and sea bass regs. We're going to have a little leeway with the flounder, the flatties. Hey, maybe a slot fish, maybe at a time on either end of the season. But the sea bass, we're going to take a whack. Now, the porgies, a.k.a. the scup, man, we do hammer them pretty good this year. So they're going to be going up an inch in size, and we'll go from there. But, hey, this is a Happy New Year time, a little early, but we know in the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio, when a season opens, is indeed cause for a New Year celebration. And starting April 1st and running through the 30th, it is the short but intense TOG season here in Jersey. And I'll tell you, sometimes we hit them early. Other times it's not till like maybe the second into the third week. Then the last week is mayhem. Joining us on the line right now, very, very special guest on Rack and Fin Radio. It's Peter Clark. He's fisheries biologist with the Jersey Bureau of Marine Fisheries, and he is the New Jersey Artificial Reef Coordinator. And yes, we have the greatest artificial reef system in the universe. Now, Captain Pete, he's an ace fisherman. Now, he is known in TOG, tuna, fluke, and sea bass circles simply as the Admiral. He's on the line right now. We're going to be talking TOG, a little TOG biology, and some of his hot wrecks for this April season. Pete, how you doing? Thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin today.
I'm doing great, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on again, Pete. It seems, and we always try, listen, we try and try and try to get together and fish, but just, Pete, one of these decades, the stars are going to align, and I'd love to get it on that boat with you because yeah. I understand you whack them, pack them, and stack them within reason. Now, Pete, here's the dealio. Month of April, intense TOG time is the last shot because then it closes to what sometime in the summer it's allowed. Where one fish is allowed. It's going to be November until, you know, we can get up on that limit. Listen, the limit's going to be 4 fish at 15 inches. Pete, some questions I have on the TOG biology aspect of things. Why this, you know, we have the gap, the closure, and then we have this one-month season. Any reason for the closure? Can you go into that, please?
Yeah, I think, you know, honestly, Tom, the reason for the closure is so that we don't over-harvest our target for the year, right, our recreational harvest limit. The other part of the equation here is we give them a little bit of a reprieve, you know, before we start banging on them. That's also the reason we're only open for that 1 month period. And then they go into a spawning period during that April to August. So we're giving them a bit of a break, right? Which is good. And I'll tell you what, Tom, this is one of my favorite animals in the entire planet right here is Todd. And opens on the best day of the year, April Fool's Day. We go four fish, go at it hard. Like you said, you know, it's really dependent on water temperature. Now, I have the crystal ball out, of course, and I think because the water temperatures are coming up faster this year, we were just out on the water this week, and already the ocean's around 44 degrees, all right, which is a bit warmer. The bays are warm, so all that water's coming out, hot water's coming out of the bays, out of your estuaries. It's starting to fill into the ocean a little bit and influence that surface temperature. Now, the bottom temperature is still probably pretty cold. I would say 38-ish degrees, which means, you know, these animals are not going to be as active on April Fool's Day as they are towards the end of the month.
Right.
Okay. Which means you've got to fish for them accordingly. You're not talking about fish that are going to be roaming around these pieces as much in the early part of the month, and they're not going to be, as we say in Tog land, they're not going to be chewing as hard, right?
So
we've got to think of what bait to use. So that's sort of the things that I'd like to talk about. I would say, generally speaking, off the coast of New Jersey coming into this April season, you're going to want to have some clams on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
I always bring white leggers. I always got my green crabs as well, but clams are probably going to end up being at least the kickoff bait.
Captain Pete, is it a scent thing, a taste thing? Because we've used crabs and clams, and we caught them on both. You seem to prefer the clams, and with good reason. You're extremely successful. Is it the biology thing, Pete? You hear from some people, captains and recreation guys and hardcore fishermen, whatever, their teeth fall out, their gums are sore, cold, or whatever. What's the deal? What do you think?
Yeah, so I don't think their teeth aren't falling out, in my opinion. You know, we've never seen evidence of that sort of thing. But like I was saying, they're a bit lethargic, right? So we're basically knocking on the door trying to wake them up. And at this point, the water is cold. They're not as active. They're not on a heavy feed quite yet. And, a soft morsel is going to be easier for them to chew on. It's going to be easier for you to feel that pickup than a hard crab bait. Now, that's not to say by the last week of April, I'm almost exclusively on crabs.
There you go.
And, because now they're starting to chew pretty hard. The water's warmed up. It's like anything else. It's, you know, the birds are out chirping and the tog are chewing.
Pete, a little non sequitur here, but talk about the warm water. Earlier in the week, I was up in, Belmar. I stopped in, I was on assignment, and I saw some guys, not a lot, but they were at a pretty damn good pick going in that Shark River on winter flounder. And the water was warm. And Pete, I saw some of these things are fat little bastards. I'm talking like 13, 14 inches and thick. And Pete, what? And not Pete, to a man, or what, four? Was it four or five boats? I forget. To a man, Pete, to a rod, clam. Yep. They were chumming with clam, and they were using clam. Me, it's always bloodworms. No. These, and again, he said the warmer water, it's warming rapidly. I spoke to a guy at a tackle shop there. He said, Tom, this bite usually doesn't happen until about the first week in April. He said, we're about a week and a half ahead of time. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. So, if you use that as any kind of an indicator, and so far what you're hearing and what I'm seeing and hearing is that water is getting a little bit warmer than previous winters. So it's time to get out there and give it a shot. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, Pete, we're up against a hard break. I want to get into some tactics with you. And also, listeners, his five hot spots, hot reefs for Todd. Grab that cup, grab that red. We'll be right back with Captain Pete Clark, fisheries biologist, New Jersey Bureau of Marine Fisheries, and the New Jersey Artificial Reef Coordinator. And I maintain we have the greatest artificial reef system on the planet, in the universe, wherever. It is great. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
When you need to know, it's WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of March 26th and 27th. On the line with us is Peter Clark, Captain Peter Clark, fisheries biologist with the New Jersey Bureau of Marine Fisheries and a New Jersey artificial. He is the artificial reef coordinator. We're talking TOG, the April season, April 1st to April 30th. Well, Captain Pete, real fast, before we get into some locations, the tackle you're using, and braid, I assume, hooks, whatever. How, what pound test you on? Light tip rod, broomstick rod? What's the dealio?
No, so, you know, especially this time of year, we're talking absolutely you're using braid, right? So I'm a traditional standard rig guy. I like to tie a dropper loop about 4 inches above my sinker. I use 60 pound leader material onto a Snelled hook. Now, I like a 4-0 Virginia. I'm a pretty, we call it the Belmar rig, and I'm a classic kind of guy. Now, that's not to say that your Octopus and your Gamagatsu hooks aren't fantastic. They are. They're really great hooks. Your Snafu rigs, etc. It really comes down to personal preference, but you definitely are going to want to have 60-pound braid on. You're definitely going to want to have 60-pound leader on, heavy stuff, because you're going to be fishing some deep water in April.
There we go. Okay. Right?
And I'm minimum 6 ounces. Absolute minimum 6 ounces, 8, 10 sometimes. And that's, you know, again, the standard rig approach, as opposed to some guys got it, I don't got it. The technique to use a jig, I mean, it's phenomenal. I've been outfished 2-1 by jig guys. When they are on, they are on. But it's tough, man. It is not an easy thing to figure out, in my opinion. I just haven't gotten it yet.
Well, Pete, sometimes I've found out that the jig shape makes a difference. You know, the butterbean jigs, the flat jig. There's myriad jigs out there, and I'm seeing them all over the place. Everybody and their mom are in, again, the bucktail and the tog jig and sheep's head jig biz, and that's great. New ideas come from, you know, from Mighty Oaks, Little Acorns, Mighty Oaks Grow. So there's some great stuff out there. But, Pete, like I said, I agree with you totally. In the spring, it's a rig gig, man.
Yeah, I think so. And we're like we're saying, we're fishing deep water, right? At least I like to always start in the deep water stuff. We're talking over 100 feet, plenty of steel structure. I love fishing for tog in the spring and this April season on metal. That's what I'm looking for, mm-hmm. and as deep as I can get. So, you know, here's what we're talking. We're talking about. Can you want to go over some?
Let's do the read. This is Captain Pete's top four, top five. If we have time, Pete, go. Let's rock it out.
All right. So again, guys, we're focusing on deep water. So what does that mean? We're talking Shark River Reef, right? It's 14.8 miles, 15 miles off beach. It's just under a mile square in area, so it's 0.72 square miles. But the depth is the important thing, right? So the surrounding depth is 119 to 134 feet deep. Now, what's nice about the Shark River Reef is we put 550 deployments on there, actually more than that, on that reef. We're talking about 4 million cubic yards of dredge rock. So all up on the northern and the eastern side of that reef, you're talking about dredge rock mountains, big mountains, nestled in between all this, you know, down the middle of the corridor of this thing, you've got some giant ships. You've got 250-foot tankers. You've got the USS Algol, which is 460 feet, plus 50, more than 50 subway cars, right? And why are we talking about this metal stuff? Because this is where these tog are going to be hanging out, waiting for this water to warm out. They're going to be in their nest, hanging out, waiting for that water to get warm, and they're just going to be coming out and snatching up those soft baits that we're going to start fishing with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So going from the north, we've got Shark River, of course. Then we come down to one of my favorite reefs is Garden State North. Now, it's not as developed as Shark River. It's got 164 deployments. It's 6.5 miles off the beach, in about 80 feet, 70 to 80 feet of water, which is good. This is one of those reefs that you can definitely hit early season. It's got some fantastic, absolutely fantastic structure on it in the form of armored personnel vehicles, right? So those tanks, those big metal cars.
There you go.
45 of those. Got
16 ships, so there's plenty of spaces for folks to get in, anchor up on these, and start bailing them. As we keep going down south, you've got the AC Reef. Now, this reef is fantastic, right? So it's 95 feet deep, 8.5 miles off the beach. It's a big reef, Tom.
That is,
yeah. 4 square miles in area, all right? There's 182 deployments on this reef, hundreds of subway cars. Now, we keep talking about metal. This is a good spot to check out. Hundreds of subway cars, 18 ships, 25-plus military vehicles. I mean, we're talking, this has got a lot of metal on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's got the 90-foot tugboat called the Richard Reyna, 130-foot caisson gate. These are all just primo pog spots.
Captain Pete, let me interrupt you a second. When a few years ago, when you got the caisson gates going down, you told me it would be a few years. Pete, those are tog magnets, brother.
Yeah, so you know, we were talking about seasoning that gate. That thing has been in the water now for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's ready. It's ready to roll. I personally fished it 2 years ago for sea bass. We were catching sea bass. We had tog bites on it. It's a good piece, man. And like I was saying, it's not just that caisson gate. You've got so many other metal pieces on there. That tugboat, all the military vehicles, all
right.
The other ships, subway cars. So you've got you've got enough different spread out pieces where you're not going to be kicked off of a piece. There's plenty of room for everybody to get on there, right? That's the, when it comes down to it, that's what's the most stressful part of the day when you're togging is getting out onto a piece before the next guy. And something like the AC Reef and these reefs that we're talking about, they've got enough great structure where they can hold a lot of anglers. And, so you're not going to be kicked out, or you're not going to find your spot taken already.
Well, Captain, correct me if I'm wrong here. Isn't the AC Reef the second largest in the system?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely one of the largest. I don't know what rank it comes in, but the Cape May Reef is quite large as well. Yeah. So, well, let's talk about the Cape May Reef. Another fantastic reef. Now that in my opinion is probably one of the better later tog season, late April season sites. But 70 feet deep, it's got a ton of metal,
mm-hmm.
24 ships, over 40 military vehicles, over 120 subway cars. Again, we're talking about a reef that's got over 300 deployments. It's 8.5 miles off the beach. It's just a fantastic spot to go fishing. But, you know, one of the ones that we haven't talked about, I don't think you and I have ever talked about, is the Deepwater Reef site. That's the southern part of New Jersey's Shark River Reef, right? So it's in deeper water. It's 125 feet deep.
Oh.
Again, it's not enormous. It's just under a mile square area.
Mm-hmm.
It's 23 miles off the beach, which means there's not going to be a whole lot of activity out there in the way of other fishermen. It's only got 60 deployments, but there's some absolutely phenomenal pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Over 50 subway cars, 150-foot-long caisson gate, 104-foot tugboat, 120-foot tugboat, 225-foot barge, and a 250-foot tanker, just to name a few. And I have only fished there a couple of times. I haven't been there in years. I would love to go out there and give that place a shot.
Well, Pete, again, I tell you, best big tog scenario. Think that might be the ace in the hole.
I know some guys that are fishing out of Cape May, AC, and they swear by that place.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna hate me for talking about it, but I'll tell you what. some of our biggest fish in the state here, some of our latest records are coming from South Jersey, offshore, in that depth of water. Now, I'm not saying they're coming from deep water, though they may be.
Yeah.
They're we're talking about that depth range for sure, though.
Shout out to Captain Tommy Daffin on that one, on the record talk. Well, Captain Pete, we're up against a hard break here. Thanks. Again, as usual, I expect no less. Peter Clark, stellar information. But Pete, on the conservation end of things, keeping the four fish at you know, minimum 15 inches, when you're getting these 7, 8, 9, 10 pound, 12 pound that you do get in the spring, 14, big, some real horses, recommend releasing them, breeder fish? What's the dealio?
So, listen, you know, we have regulations that say that you're allowed to keep four fish 15 inches or greater. I think it's personal preference. Personally, I don't keep fish that are your largest fish, your 10 pounders, your, you know, that's usually about my break. Anything less than that, we'll consider it. You know, tauger are very slow growing, long lived fish. They're not quite as prolific as some of our other species of fish, such as summer flounder, black sea bass, scup, things like that, striped bass. So I'm an advocate for some level of catch and release. And again, culling out the largest ones, sending them back. If they're in good shape, let's give them a shot. Right. I think you're onto something there, Tom, and advocating that release of those real big ones is a great plan in my opinion.
Well, Captain Pete, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. Listeners, season kicks off April 1st, a little early, and a Happy New Year parallel universe of Rack and Fin. We're going to run through the 30th. As Captain Pete says, a little later on in the month, probably that third and fourth week, it's going to be balls to the wall. It's going to catch fire. We know it. It happens every year. Captain Pete, thanks for your knowledge and sharing it with us on Rack and Fin. Hope to see you on the water, maybe this spring fluke trip, please. I got some new baits for you to try.
Oh, I can't wait. Hey, before you let me go, though, you know, I've been telling you, promising you that this new reef guide is coming out.
Listen to me. Well, let me. I have it circled right here. Updated reef book with the question. I don't have a camera in here. Pete, I'm shut. Go ahead.
All right. So we are just about ready to release it. So, and the reason I'm mentioning this is because I'd love for all of your listeners to check out our website. It's a absolutely phenomenal updated reef guide. It's really amazing. The folks here did, our GIS folks did an absolutely slam dunk job on this thing. It's got, I don't even know, thousands of new coordinates, new deployment numbers. You know, the goal here, so this is going to be a hard copy. Again, you print it out, et cetera. We'd like to get it. We'd like to get it printed out so you can buy them. But even more importantly, for a download, so you can go onto our website, download all the numbers electronically, put them on a chip, get them into your machine, and voila! Now you got everything.
Gather, right? That's njfishandwildlife.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
Go to Saltwater Bureau Marine Fisheries, and it will be there. Well, Pete, congratulations on that. Before I let you go, Clark, this coming spring, summer, you have a deployment schedule going or still in the works?
Yeah, we've got about six ready to roll here. So we've got a 180-foot tugboat. We've got a 350-foot barge. we've got a 50-foot tugboat. We've got two reef ball deployments that are already queued up. And hold on to your hat here, Tom. But we got some stuff. We got some light rail cars, passenger railroad cars coming.
There we go.
So Pete, I'm pretty excited about all that.
I love the tanks. I'm a railroad car guy, and I tell you, to me, one of the most underrated, because you know we talk about the tanks and whatever, the concrete, the caissons, etc. Those reef ball fields, Pete, they're badass fish producers.
They are. They really are. They're fantastic for drift fishing. Looking around them is awesome. Ugh. Yeah. I mean, And in general, just our reef system, and again, no credit to me, that Bill Figley, Hugh Carberry, and all the supporters that we have in the state. As you know, the state of New Jersey does not buy material. We depend entirely on donations and sponsorship from private organizations like the Annie Clark Foundation, Sport Fishing Fund, Manasquan River Marlin and Tuna Club, the Cape May Charter Boat Association.
There you go.
Beach Haven Charter Boat Association. Like all these guys, Point Pleasant Charter Boat Association, all these clubs, they all have been coming together for the last 35 years to make this system what it is today. And so, you know, thank you to all those guys.
And it just keeps getting better. Well, Pete, we have to go. We're up against a break. It's indeed an honor, listeners, to speak with the Admiral. Okay, Pete, you take care, man. Best of the family.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll see you. Time. You too. He is indeed the Admiral. Up against a break. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
The WPG Talk Radio app is your connection to South Jersey's talk station. Get free, unlimited local and statewide news from New Jersey's largest radio news team. Download all of our local shows as podcasts and more, powered by Ambient Comfort. For installation to repairs and maintenance, give Ambient Comfort Heating and Cooling a call today at 856-213-6586. AmbientComfortNJ.com.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of March 26th and 27th. That was Captain Peter Clark, fisheries biologist and artificial reef quarter, New Jersey Bureau of Marine Fisheries. That tog season is going to be short and intense. Actually, like I said, the last 2 weeks is really in the month of April when that bites. So it's going to run from April 1st until April 30th, four fish, 15-inch minimum. And let some of those big mamas go. You know me, I'm the meat man. I'm Tommy Meat. But, you know, the big ones, you're talking to breeders here. Give them another shot at it. Hey, 2 weeks from now, trout season opens out. The hatchery trucks are rolling. You can fish for trout in certain waters. In the Rack and Fin Radio listening area, Prosper Town Lake up there on 537 is open to fishing. Catch and release only. Same thing, Lake Shenandoah up there in Lakewood. You'll be able to, Prosper Town's in Jackson. Catch and release only. I know it's tough because you have some great bass waters here. No go. No go while they're stocking trout, but that's all right. We're going to get into the bass end of things in a couple of weeks. We're going to touch on a little bit of bass in an upcoming segment. But right now, we're going to talk trout with, actually trout specifically, power bait and gulp baits with John Prock. Now, he is the research and development director with the Berkeley Division of Pure Fishing. Yes, way back when, power bait, then gulp. All started with this guy and Dr. Keith Jones as well. John, thanks for joining us at Rack and Fin. It's trout time. You know me. I'm going nuts. I'm armed. My whole office up there is armed with gulp and power baits and gulp grubs and gulp minnows and floating pinch crawler heads. I got it down, Proc, now.
That is awesome, Tom. Thanks for having me on. We've got a lineup for you. We got some new stuff for you to try out, too. Power bait trout dough. We've got some new colors in that, some wave twist and turbos and different combinations. But the ones that you're really into are like the teasers and the trout atomic tubes.
Oh,
we've got some new colors that'll light those trout up this year for you. Give you something new to try.
Well, John, I'll tell you, in the still waters, I'm a proponent of the standard trout bait and also the turbo dough and also the gulp dough. But in the moving environment, John, it's really tough to beat listeners. The 1-inch and a 2.5-inch gulp minnow. I mean, and John, let's just hook through the nose, octopus, that's it. I mean, lights also a little later on in the year with the helgramite. That's more like late April, May. In moving waters, John, absolutely deadly. But I want to get a little differentiation of baits, John. The power bait and the turbo dough. Difference in formula? What's the dealio?
Yeah, there is a difference in formula. Every time, generally, we come out with a new type of power bait dough. It's got an enhanced formula. For instance, the original trout bait that's still out there is still top of the line and catches fish and better than anything else out there. But when we come out with things like in the past, we had tournament strength, we have turbo dough now, and we've got the other ones that are out there. Those are all enhanced with different chemical type of enhancers that we found out over the years with our additional research. You got to remember, we've been researching and developing things that trout like for now 36 years.
It's Johnny.
And in that time, we've learned a lot of new things. And as we learn those things, Tom, then we'll just add formula. And when it's a big enough enhancement, then we'll do something like the turbo dough that's got the other enhancers in there and the gulp dough, where we actually have
chunks of the Gulp product in there.
In there, right.
To give it more of a, this is a bad word, more of a chumming type effect.
Hey, man, no shame to our game here at Rack and Fin Radio, Procky. You know that. John, what amazes me in the various parts of the state, I fish and listen, I also hit Pensy, Connecticut, those areas there. Water composition, water color, stain clear, whatever. The color of the paste bait can make a difference. I mean, sometimes a big difference. And some of the baits with the sparkles in there. I mean, I've been outfished and outfished with different. Again, listen, too, a guy down here is using Turbo Dough. I'm using Turbo Dough. A guy to our left, a little further down, is using, you know, the Gulp Dough. And who's catching, who's not. So, it's John, I think a lot of it has to, not a lot of it, but a good portion of it has to do with the environment, the venue you're fishing.
Exactly. It's I like to liken it to the guys that are trolling. They'll put a set out there of different colors of beaks until they get a pattern going.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're watching guys on the bank and they're using different things and one guy seems to be small and his tackle is similar, you know, one guy using 40-pound line and one guy using 4-pound line, there's obvious difference, mm-hmm. right? But if everything's similar, switch to the color that guy's using, because there's a reason. It's light conditions. It's light transmission through the water. It has to do with the UV, the way it reflects off of that color of bait or the glitter that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
That is what makes the difference.
John, two baits that are seemingly on the sly here, and I'm noticing more and more on the venues in South Jersey. Listen, we have some really good trail fishing down here in South Jersey for those who want to do it. What happens is, John, though, by the third week in April, you know, the drum are starting in, the stripers are in, so trail fishing sort of takes a back end. But listen, you want to put trout on that stringer, and all these waters, maybe with one exception at Tom's, all these waters are non-trout, not, in other words, non-maintenance. The fish are going to catch them, you know, keep taking them home and eat them. John, two baits I've noticed over the years. The Nuggets and the Gulp Corn. I mean, on the sly, the guys that use them know about it. One guy said, don't talk about this. But I had it. I said, don't. He said, don't talk about this. John, those Nuggets and the Corn are deadly.
And those are two different types of formulas. One mm-hmm. is the Corn is more of a durable product. They'll stay on a hook in a moving situation also of moving water.
Yep.
The dough actually is meant for more a static or slow presentation, so it doesn't stay on the hook quite as well, but it gives more dispersion, get more scent and flavor out there quicker. And in certain applications, either one of those could outperform the other.
Yeah. John, now the difference between the Gulp eggs and the power bait eggs, the power eggs, is it the skin, the plastisol, or is it the Gulp eggs is the same thing where it's automatically leaching out into the water? What's the difference?
Well, with the regular power bait eggs, they are a PVC bait, just like your bass worms and things like that. But we put some things in there to make it so that it's more and more of the scent and flavor can get out easier, but it's more of a taste thing. So they visually cue in on the fluorescent red or the yep. bright orange, and then they come over and they taste it, and that's when they get hooked. Whereas with the Gulp, it is actually like a sponge, and the water diffuses right through it. So they get the scent and flavor of that from a greater distance. They can smell that and taste it before they even get up to it.
John, the work that goes into the testing, the new colors, the new formulas, what's out now for 2022, has this stuff been on the drawing board like for a year already, getting out there to your field testers? What's the dealio?
Yeah, we're working on actually 2023 products right now.
There you go.
Yeah. So the stuff that we're working on in R&D will be launched in late 22 and on the market for the angler to pick up in 2023. So we're working, you know, year and a half ahead. Usually mm-hmm. if it's a big technology like Gulp or PowerBait, we could be 4, 5, 6 years in the makings of that, just depending on how our research goes.
Hey, listeners, join us online is John Prock, now a very special guest on Rock and Fin Radio. He's the research and the development director for the Berkeley Division of Pure Fishing. We're talking the trout baits. Trout season opens April 9th. In a couple of weeks, there are two venues in the South Jersey area you can fish. Catch and release only. Prospertown Lake in Jackson there on 537 and Lake Shenandoah up there in Lakewood. Well, John, before we get to the next segment, we're going to be talking MaxSense. All the bass guys, hanging because this technology is a mind blower. John, I was accused of having no morals, scruples, or ethics. I told the guy, I said, "Listen, man, they were surgically removed at birth." He saw me with my the trout dip. All right, trout dip. He said, "Man," he says, "you're really going low." I said, "I want to catch fish." That John had dip. Again, there's no shame to our game here at Rack and Fin Radio. How long has the dip been around? I picked it up a couple of years ago. Hey, when it's a tough go, give him the dip, man.
Yeah, because it gives a lot of the scent and flavor a lot quicker. It's a water-based system.
Mm-hmm.
It actually coats your bait, and it dissolves off quicker. You can't get that scent and flavor just to stay on your hook in a dip. But if you're using the eggs or the one-inch minnows,
yep,
or even coat your trout dough with it, you get that immediate. As soon as it hits the water, it's dispersing, where dough takes a little longer for the water to dissolve it. That's just an added boom. It's out there and in their face.
Listen, it is really has, John, that's been a game changer. Okay, people, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. We'll be right back with John Prochnow, R&D Director, Berkeley Division of Pure Fish, and we're going to be talking MaxSense Bass Baits from Berkeley. Be right back, Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
Whacking and stacking on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of March 26th and 27th. Johnny Prochnow's on the line. John, let's talk MaxSense. When this broke, I mean, it was wow, because, again, as you said, with the power baits, you know, listen, the Plastisol coating, you'll see on the packaging. I was in the ad business, as John knows, for many years. You'll see on the packaging, fish bite and hold on 18 times longer. In other words, they have to get through that Plastisol to get that burst of flavor. John's going to correct me if I'm wrong, which I'm usually wrong here. But with this MaxSense, it's like a hybrid. The scent is leaching out. You have it as a trailer. You have it as a worm, these gulp. These MaxSense worms are, I can't say criminal because I made a law, but their production is off the charts. John, was I right on that, on the MaxSense dealio versus the power worms? What's the score?
You're very well informed, Tom. That MaxSense is a PVC-based product, just like you talked about. But what we've done to it is we've been able to get a technology in there to where the product opens up and it's porous and gets that scent and flavor out, very similar to Gulp. But it doesn't have the, shall I say, the shortcomings that Gulp does, where it dries up and things
right,
like that. And mm-hmm, we put a brand new scent and flavor technology into there that gets out. It works. It's more of a matte finish, give you more of a natural look to it. And to be honest with you, it has been a home run like we had never believed. That flatworm, oh my God.
Hey, listeners, okay, I'm coming. I like to come every once in a while, it's cathartic to come clean. I like to keep stuff to myself or BS. Yeah, that works. Yeah, this works, that works. But I'll tell you, John, that little trooper and the MaxSense tube. I mean, a little two and a half inch, two or three quarter inch, and a 2.5 inch tube. John, they've just been from small amount. John, even I call it pickerel on them, some northern pike up North Jersey in the Pasegra. It's just a win-win all around with those things.
Tom, you told me you weren't going to tell those types of secrets over the radio.
I got it. John, I have to come clean. You know, who knows? I may die tomorrow. I know I'm going to hell. But I don't want it to be in the hottest place, if you get my drift. But John,
yes,
again, getting this I hate the term, but it's so apropos, and to me it's beyond cutting edge technology with these MaxSense baits and getting the forms that are productive. How long was that a work in progress? I mean, it's phenomenal. The stuff is phenomenal.
Well, it is a new technology that hasn't been seen out there, and we've been working on that for over 3 years before we came out with it. It's a technology because we actually post-process these after it's molded. You can tell it's a molded product, just mm-hmm, like regular PVC plastic worms and stuff. But we actually do a secondary process to it to where we infuse more of the scent and flavor, just like the Gulp juice. You can actually hydrate these and recharge them with the Gulp recharge that's out there on the market.
No, with Jesus. Berkeley pulls no stop. John, I have my 6, 7, 8s. Me and my lovely D. Marie are bass go-tos. And the 6-inch, we have the max at the lunch. You know me, John, you see me. I'm a fat bastard. The lunch worm. That's my pay. The lunch worm. We got the Maxen Kingtail coming in 8 inches and the Maxen Hitworm Magnum at 7 inches. John, covered it all with these. Now, John, your field testers, your pro staff, again, they're getting these things a year, 2 years in advance. Sitting down with them, going over the results, taking, constructive criticism here, there. How long is that from we have it? Here's the baits, guys and gals. Go out there, fish it, work it, give us some areas of improvement to where it's on like a Bass Pro Shops pegboard.
Oh, you're talking about 18 months.
Woof.
From inception idea to the product actually sitting at retail.
18 months. So, again,
yep.
For lack of a better term, so a lot of trial and error in there, and I know it won't be released until it's about as close to 100% as you can get. Is that correct?
That's correct. And we got some new ones this year coming for you. We got the one called the Little Trooper. We got a Little General now. We've got a Chigger Craw, and we've got the tubes, like you said, in a 2.5 and a 3.5 inch.
Mm-hmm. John, the colors, again, different regions of the country. More colors, more productive. How does that work? Again, John, these names. I mean, there's a normal chartreuse and white and glower, but some of these names just blow your mind. Who comes up with these?
Hey, it's one of those things where a group of us gets together and we start talking about things. The pros are involved or whoever the key opinion leader is. They sound like some of the names you'd come up with, and maybe we even heard some of those from you, Tom.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe. John, influence at all from Pure Fishing's other divisions around the world? I know Australia's a hotbed of pure fishing activity. Listeners, just full disclosure, right now, in about a month, a week before summer flounder opens, John Prock now will be, I think we're going to try to get a whole show out of this, the Gulp Baits for Flounder. John, we have that marked on the calendar, correct?
Yes, we do.
It's going to be listen, it's going to be great. Again, influences, John, from other areas under the Pure Fishing umbrella. Does that impact USA selections at all?
Yes, it does. You're very well informed. We use a lot of the ideas and things that we've seen in Australia because we do have a office there that does some research. We also have one in Japan and one in Europe that we get ideas from, too. Some of the things that they do cross over to our markets, and a lot of the things that we do cross over to theirs. So we do trade ideas back and forth because the Central Research and Development Department is in Spirit Lake, Iowa, for all of Pure Fishing baits.
What's that, Lake Okeechobee or something right there?
Well, you're close. It's Lake Okeechobee.
Okeechobee, you say tomato, I say give me some more bacon on it.
Hey, it's a clear blue water. What lake that's 130 feet deep? What the heck?
We enjoyed some fishing there. Down, John, I've been out there, and people say, well, Tom P., you know, they test their stuff in tanks and pools. It's not the real deal. Listeners, besides the pro staff, Procky is out there. John, seeing you down in the Gulf, seeing you in Florida, you are out there on the water personally testing these. And listeners, it doesn't get more of a testament than that. So, John, when you make the connection, like, yeah, damn, these baits work. I mean, it's got to be a really fulfilling sensation, is it not?
The best part is knowing that the products that you help develop, you and your team at Berkeley's R&D, get out there on the shelf, people pick them up, and they have fun with them. They catch fish.
And that's what it comes down to. Well, John, thanks for joining us on Rock of It. You're on a slamming springtime schedule, little brother. And we hope to get in touch with you in about a month. Listeners, we're going to be talking summer flounder, the gulp grubs, the gulp jerk shads, the gulp paddle tails, all that good gulp stuff. You want to limit a fluke. Man, that's the gulp. Oh, yeah. By the way, hey. The way the price of minis, a little farther north here, north of Barnegat Inlet, Kelly's, as they're called, it went up probably on a wholesale end about $10 a gallon. I think you're going to be buying, John, you're going to be buying a lot more gulp. It's already cleaning the pegs. They're going to be buying a lot more gulp this spring, brother.
Teaser, teaser, Tom. We got some bright, bright new gulp colors in those one-inch minnows and stuff, too, for you.
Uh-oh. Hey, Prochnia, can you do me a favor? This has been my secret. I tell people, that curry chicken is a bad-ass color combination. And that six-inch grub, Mary Mother of God, Prochnia. That's... It's just, I mean, there's the nuclear chicken, this, that. Curry chicken. People may didn't realize Gandhi was a flute guy. I think in the Bay of Bengal, didn't he catch flu? Is that where you guys came up with that?
Can't tell all our secrets, Tom.
John, you take care. Hope to talk to you in a month. And thanks, listeners. Get to Bass Pro, get your local tackle shop. Berkeley trout bait, the glitter bait, the turbo dough, the gulp dough, the power eggs. If you can find a little 1 and 2.5 inch gulp minnow, you're fishing streams and rivers, just hook it through the nose, twitch that. Shout out to Jimmy O'Donnell there, formerly with Pure Fishing. He's killing him with this. He says, yellow. That's all he says. Is I look at him, I put my both palms up. He just says, yellow. And there he goes down the river. So...
That sounds like O'Donnell.
You want to catch trout this spring, baby. The stocking is underway now. And listen, again, but there's another 75,000 trout going out early. It's going to be a hell of a springtime here in South Jersey, hell of an April. Get the Berkeley Power and Gulp baits. John, you take care. Talk to you soon, brother.
You too. Catch more fish.
Oh, yeah. See you later. Bye. Way longer. This guy is. I'm looking down here. I'm walking up. South Luna Madre, whatever it was years ago. I'm not mistaken, man. I think that's Brock now. Holy geez, it's Johnny Brock now. Way the hell down here. Shout out to Lebo Inyosa, my guy down there. Okay, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
There's another event this weekend, which is going on a lot of fun, and we hope to be there. It's the Piccalilli's Inn's annual Wild Game Weekend. And this thing is a belly buster. Join us on the line, very special guest, Chef Dina, who this menu is hers and hers alone. Amazing, amazing culinary queen here. Chef Dina, how you doing? Nice to have you on Rack and Fin. What's up, girl?
Hey, Tom. Happy to be here this morning. How are you?
Good. Let's talk about this menu. Time is short, Dina, but I'm going to run into it, Dina. I'm too excited. Duck wings a l'orange, Greek lamb sausage, venison shepherd's pie, and the Beast Burger and Wildberry Cobbler. Dina, go into this menu. How long to formulate it? The trial? I'm upset because I wasn't invited to be a taste tester, but that's a Bonnie thing.
Oh, it is. This Wild Game Weekend is a blast for us. We really, really enjoy stretching our culinary feet a little bit and, you know, doing something interesting for our community. So we're really excited to bring this to everyone this weekend.
Dina, go into this, one of my faves, this venison shepherd's pie, girl. What do you got?
Our venison shepherd's pie is going to be amazing. It is in a really deep, earthy red wine sauce with peas and carrots, just like your mama would make. And then we're going to top it with some creamy mashed potatoes, crisp it up under our oven and make it really lovely and buttery for everyone. So we're really super excited about that one.
And Dina, I want to get into this. Listeners, this should come at a heart and lung machine. This Beast Burger, Dina, this is your, she's trying to kill me. I think she's trying to kill me. Dina, go into this monster sandwich. Go ahead, go.
Oh, yeah, no, it's wild boar, elk, bison, and Wagyu beef. We're seasoning it with truffles, topping it with craft beer cheese that we have made with our own 1927 IPA. Comes from a local brewery in Hamilton.
Whoa.
We're going to put some mushrooms on that, some arugula, and put it on a pretzel bun.
Now, to close things out, and I'm sure it's low-cal, no sugar, no fat, I guess. this wild berry cobbler, Dina, go.
Oh, it is a maple bourbon berry sauce over a sugary cobbler. Can't wait to do that one. That one's going to be a blast for everybody.
She's killing me, man. Alyssa's Wild Game Weekend at the Piccalilli Inn, Route 206 there in Chemung. Today, what are the hours? Saturday, today, and tomorrow. What's the deal?
Saturday and Sunday, we will be open from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., depending on what's going on with us. And it starts Saturday, so we'll see everybody Saturday and Sunday this week.
Well, Dina, I'll tell you, it's going to be a great time. Listeners, the Wild Game weekend, Chef Dina, this is her menu. This is her baby. It's just going to be a just fantastic culinary experience. And as always, it's always fun at the Pig. Chef Dina, you take care. Hope to see you there tomorrow, girl.
Hope so.
See you. Bye-bye. She is really nice. That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin. Ready to give your local tax shops a call, see what the reports are going on. We just had too much to cover. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. God bless law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. Get your gulp and turbo dough and power baits on.